It is convention weekend, and you know what? They're lined up here in Fargo. Katrina Christensen is seeking the Democratic nomination for the United States Senate. Her name was on the ballot before, as you just heard from Trigby Hammer. North Dakotans need to get to know you. They need to get that name out there, and it takes longer than just a couple of months to get that done. Well, Katrina's been working at that, and she'll be running against United States Senator Kevin Cramer. Katrina, good to have you back in studio. How you been?
I'm doing great, Joel. Thanks for having me.
You excited?
Oh, yeah. Of course I am.
Convention weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
I heard a little bird told me that you've been fundraising pretty doggone well. That's always an indicator to me that people are excited about your campaign.
I think they're really excited about the campaign. We've almost raised $500,000, which is four times more than I raised in all of 2022. And I also think it shows that people are really disappointed with a lifelong politician not delivering for them in D.C.
So, three things. We're going to use that number. Three things that separate you from Kevin Cramer. What's the difference?
Well, I care about people. I've got your back. Like, I know what it's like to be a regular person facing high insurance premiums, facing childcare shortages, facing affordable housing issues, the interest rates right now. I know what it's like to be a regular person, and I care about other people that have to go through those things. And it's just not there for my opponent. And you can see that in his votes. So that's one. The other thing that I would say is he doesn't really care about the economy. He cares about special interests. And we can go and look at all of his votes in terms of, you know, rejecting Medicare prescription drug prices. Who does that? Who wants seniors to pay more for drugs? Well, somebody who's backed by special interests in terms of accepting corporate PAC money from pharmaceutical companies. I think the other thing that's, you know, and I've said this before. So he identifies problems and assigns blame. And I think he was on Rob Port's podcast and he was talking about the border bill. And we've talked about that a little bit. Right. He rejected it. He said he couldn't do it because of these things. And rather than going to cross the aisle and trying to work things out, he just gave up. And, you know, he said on Rob Port, because he knew it wasn't going to pass in the House, just took the wind out of his sails. And that has stuck with me. Like, we have this rudderless dude representing us in D.C. That's no good. We need somebody who can row the boat, right? Like, that's maybe not the best analogy, but that's what I'm willing to do. I've had to do it my entire life. Solve problems.
So when you look at this race, you're a Democrat running in a red state. Why? I mean, why in terms of a red state would they go away from their own party to say, you know what, let's take a chance on her?
Well, I think we've seen, you know, traditionally, not that long ago, there were three federally elected Democrats in the state of North Dakota. And of course, Senator Heitkamp won in 2012. And, you know, this race is really about, did the Democratic Party leave North Dakota voters or did the voters leave the Democratic Party? And or at least supporting those people who can deliver results, you know, a farm bill, those sorts of things. And we are going to raise the funds to get our message out there and make this a really competitive race. The reality is the polling shows Kevin Cramer is not very well liked. Only 33% of voters said they would vote for him again. There's something there. It's not necessarily just about partisan politicking at this point. It's about results. And he's just not delivering.
So I read through on air the new, and I say it's the new because the Republican Party that I used to run against and compete against was fiscally conservative. It wasn't hypocritical when it came to debt. It was a party that really said government needed to stay out of your life instead of doing what they're doing now. With the Dobbs decision and getting into your life and, you know, whether same thing they're trying to attempt to do with anyone that's gay. You know, they just want to inject themselves and make personal choices for people. But that Republican Party in North Dakota is gone. The resolutions that I read on air were scary to me. I mean, when you're sitting there putting resolutions forward saying that any young couple struggling to have a baby that is using in vitro, that they're murderers. I mean, Katrina, how did we get to there? And out on the stump, are you hearing from people, you know, that might have leaned to the right or might be in that middle that are saying, look, I just they've gone way too far right. I can't agree with this.
I will have to say that when I'm engaging in conversations with people that identify as Republican and identify as independent, they feel like their vote's been sold, right? So they're not representing their interests. So I think what you're getting at is yes, they feel like there's this huge gap in between the things that they really value, right? North Dakota rejected the personhood bill in 2014 that would have made IVF illegal and those sorts of things like the Republicans are pushing right now. And resoundingly, over 60% of North Dakota voters rejected that. And so I think that the Republican Party has actually left the North Dakota voters in terms of what they're pursuing now. Absolutely. I think the biggest challenge I think that people are facing in North Dakota when I'm on the stump is getting these issues resolved. They don't have a voice in D.C. We don't have a farm bill. We still have the 2018 bill that leaves indemnification up to luck. You know, it's so frustrating. This Congress, I think, has only passed like 52 bills, and normally they should have passed like 350. I mean, talk about low performers.
So Ukraine, fund or not?
Yes, of course. Puts America first. Russia is an aggressor. And if we let Russia get away with things, Iran and our other, I would say, adversaries will feel like they can get away with things. And it's really important that we see the bigger picture in terms of this sort of national security. We saw terrorists strike Russia, right? We need to show that we are serious about protecting our national security interests, which means supporting NATO.
Israel, ceasefire or not?
It's an and situation, right? What happened in October when Hamas attacked Israel and murdered all of those people, it's incredibly horrifying. Israel has a right to protect itself from terrorists. And they also have the responsibility to do so in a humane way and make sure that they're protecting innocent life. And so they need to get to a place where they can have a ceasefire and figure out how to get rid of Hamas without killing any more innocent people.
When you look at what is happening on a world stage in terms of America's place in NATO, you know, with the presidential race that we're faced with, and you're running on a ballot when Donald Trump's going to be on the ballot, and he's incredibly popular in North Dakota. Every poll shows that. And yet here's a man that doesn't believe in NATO, that doesn't support NATO. How do you reconcile that with North Dakotans?
Well, this is what I think about people who support the candidate they want for president. Absolutely, go ahead and vote your conscience there. But I think it's really important that we talk about national security in terms of historical perspective. And the reality is that the Cold War never ended. And we need to act like the Cold War never ended to defend ourselves, to defend against aggressors. And, you know, that's a place where maybe I disagree with the Republican nominee for president, but I'm putting America first by supporting funding Ukraine, supporting NATO. It's an alliance that we've had for over 60 years that has made us the greatest country in the history of the world.
Yeah. Number of text messages coming in that have questions for you, and we will get to that. Katrina Christensen is our guest in studio. It's convention weekend here in Fargo. She's running for North Dakota's seat in the United States Senate. What's your website?
KatrinaForUSSenate.com.
It's that easy. KatrinaForUSSenate.com. Now, some questions come in, you know, and I'm glad they did. One says, Katrina, what, if anything, do you disagree with the DSC on, the Democratic National Committee?
I am not a lifelong politician. And so, honestly, I'm really focused on North Dakota issues and the things that, you know, affect the people who live around me. And so I don't follow the DNC. I'm not entrenched in that. I will say on the air, Chuck Schumer's not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to put North Dakota first every single time. There is probably one person in the world that can tell me what to do, and that's my 7-year-old.
Then you're losing. Which, by the way, I did. My daughter turned 40 yesterday, and I lost that years ago. Somebody said, please ask your guest if she will guarantee that she won't be a career politician if elected. So she'll pledge one term or two terms and she'll gladly walk away.
Yes, I've actually signed a term limit pledge. And because I am who I am, I have other things I can do. I've got lots of skills that I can apply and after my term in the Senate.
Okay. Another one said, do you believe in a woman's right to choose?
I think it's really important that everybody has access to the healthcare that they need, which includes abortion. Abortion is healthcare, whether that's ectopic pregnancy, whether that's a miscarriage treatment or other conditions. It's really important that women have access to the healthcare that they need when they need it.
You know, what to me was the tell, you know, people don't follow the inner politics of it. And your opposition never sought out the endorsement of the Republican Party. He went directly to the primary, which is how he ended up with the ballot, you know, the name on the ballot in the fall. That's what Kevin Cramer did. And so he didn't care about the convention. Then he cared about the convention when he had won the seat. Then all of a sudden it was time to kind of come back to the Republican Party. They are having that problem this time. They've got Rick Becker not wanting to, not allowed to seek that endorsement. They've got Tammy Miller wanting to be governor, not asking them nor wanting their endorsement at the convention. They've got delegates today threatening to, if they haven't already, walk out of the convention because they won't be seated. You've got, kind of a insurgent candidacy coming out of the CANDU area that now has people's attention because the candidate that they have seeking the endorsement at the convention, everybody isn't jumping up and down for. So is this a time when things, that crack in the window might be there because you look at the policies that the Republican Policy Committee brought forth? They are so radical, right? Is this the time for North Dakotans to take a step back and look at a Katrina? Long way to ask that question. I get
absolutely. I think what we're seeing with the opposition to the Democratic NPL party right now is a party that's consumed with fighting each other. And I would just have to say, you know, to your listeners, I'm focused on fighting for the people of North Dakota. And that's the real distinction, right? I don't want to get caught up in this dynamic where is it from the bottom up, like Rick Becker has talked about, or from the top down, like the chair. And it's not important. It doesn't solve a problem one day of the week to have any of those arguments. And so we absolutely have to be out in the state getting our message out there that I'm not a career politician. I'm a problem solver. I just want to help people out. And I'm not going to do this for forever, right? I don't want to get entrenched in D.C. I don't want that.
To me, what the big tell is in so much is whether or not when you get there, you get something done. I mean, you know, I was somebody that when you looked at Quentin Burdick, he was a career politician. I get that. But by God, we got roads, we got bridges, we got water. I mean,
sugar beet plant.
I was sitting there as a rural water manager. People like that, people like Kent. I mean, Byron, Earl, they got things done. They got, if it meant bringing money home, I'm not apologizing for that.
I think that Byron Dorgan won all of the counties in his last election. He won 11 statewide races, and he did it because he got things done.
Right.
And that's what I'm promising to do.
So where do you go from here with your campaign? What do you do?
Well, starting in May, right, I'm taking an unpaid leave of absence from my job as a professor of engineering, and I'm going to be out retail politicking. You know, I think one of the things that's really great is just getting out there and listening to people. And the thing that face-to-face interaction does is for those Republicans and independents who have an idea in their head about what a Democrat is, and then they meet me and they're like, whoa, this isn't what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. So in that particular case, that's going to take a lot of miles. Are you ready to do that?
Absolutely. No, we have been talking about getting out there, going as many days as we can out in the field, meeting people and listening to voters and introducing, you know, the idea that there is somebody out there who will actually listen and get stuff done. And that's my career. And I, you know, I can't tell you how much fun it is to meet people, whether it's in Michigan, North Dakota, or Harvey, North Dakota, and just they're ready to talk. They're ready to tell you about what their concerns are and how they're not being met.
I only have a minute left, but this is a fair question that this individual texted in, which is, how much is it for a bushel? How much can you sell a bushel of corn or soybeans for right now? Well, I mean, if you're going to represent farmers, you got to know these things.
For corn, I think it's 4.25 right now, which is, you know, not bad. When I worked at an ethanol plant in Nebraska,
we'd like it to be higher.
Yeah, we'd like it to be higher because I remember.
I'm gonna look these up and see how you're doing. I think you're pretty close.
When I worked in back in 07, corn prices were crazy, and I remember the corn buyer saying, "There's no such thing as
soybeans."
A poor farmer. Soybeans, I think they're like maybe 11:30.
Okay, so around there, I think.
Well,
you're
soybeans
right.
are always good. Right?
Not always good.
As long as there isn't a tariff war, we're good. Soybeans are...
Under Trump, they were worth $7.25. I remember that
My
forever.
Opponent supported that.
Always good to talk to you.